You missed your high school graduation. You started college just as George Floyd was murdered. And there was a reckoning on race. It's natural to wonder if democracy you hear about actually works for you. What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, what is democracy? The trail of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. And most of all, what does it mean, as we've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure?
All right, that was the inspiring part of the inspiring message that President Joe Biden brought to black students at Morehouse College and their graduation. So we could talk about the racist part of it, but I'm not going to get into that. I think the point is made that he's trying to encourage the black community to flourish, right, in the country. No. He's telling them they're victims. They should be mad. This is a democracy. Interesting. I read a follow-up on this, and a lot of students turned their backs on Joe Biden. Now, I don't know if that was about I don't know what that was about. It was about Israel, or if it was about that they were just kind of tired of this kind of rhetoric. I really don't know. But I don't think it's working anymore. And it's just another example of why we can't have Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. Not for any of us. For black college students who need a more promise than that. They don't need to be encouraged to hate and be resentful. That's no recipe for success. In this country, they need to be encouraged to jump in, become productive members, and let's make the changes we need to make together and not against each other. That's the message that should have been brought, but it wasn't. But that is the message of division, chaos, and really destruction. And that's what's happening under the Biden administration. Today, Mike Howell joins us for part two of our discussion with him. And one of the things that he points out and that his Heritage Oversight Project has just discovered is that Joe Biden has ordered every agency in Washington to start registering people to vote, to have them use mail-in ballots, to actually help them fill out their ballots. They're doing it all across the United States. They're doing it through every single federal agency. And Mike and his group have discovered some incredible documents that are very incriminating. And there are some things that we can do as citizens to stop this. So I hope you'll pay attention, take out your pencil and paper so that we can be proactive on this upcoming election. Kamala Harris shouts all the time about the right to abortion. Do you think she ever takes a minute to think about what does God think? Does Kamala think about God? Do these leftists think about God? Do they ever think about that? Did they ever think about how God feels about their love for this, their bloodlust, really it is? For the death of babies, that's more important than anything else in their universe. I don't know. I think human sacrifice, of course, has been around since the beginning of time. The god of Moloch was an ancient Canaanite god associated with the sacrifice of children. And there were so many more. So the next question is we need to take a moment to think about what God really does think. It didn't go well for civilizations who sacrificed their children. And it won't go well with us if we don't stop this. Preborn is leading the charge in this nation, rescuing babies from this horrific practice. Every day, their network of clinics sees 200 babies saved and given life. Once a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. So it's just $28 for one ultrasound. So I'm encouraging you to go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. And you know that you can call us. You do know this, right? Do you write this? You should write this number down so that when you hear something and you want to comment, you can call. It's 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can go on any podcast platform to listen to Sandy Rios 24/7. AFR, AmericanFamilyRadio.net is our home base. If you go to my website, sandyrios.com, you can also listen, and that's pretty easy. You can go to any social media platform, and there we are, too. Okay, so stay tuned for our part two with Mike Howell. We're going to discuss a couple of really fascinating things. President Joe Biden and his executive order demanding that all agencies help fill out mail-in ballots and solicit people to vote in the 2024 election. Some might argue as to whether that's actually legal, but we'll talk about that because Mike Howell and his group have found a lot of information about that. The first one will relate to that fight between AOC and Jasmine Crockett and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know it's funny, kind of, maybe. I don't know how you view that, but we're going to play a longer clip of it because I have a feeling, if you're like me, you only heard the shorter clip. I think the longer clip actually brings more insight. So stay tuned for a discussion of both those things on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. And today, we are just really grateful to have Mike Howell with part two of our discussion with him in the first part. Mike is, of course, the director of the Heritage Oversight Project. He has just an incredible resume. He's a hard-charging guy who has really a righteous, I think, approach to enforcing the law. So he's really good at ferreting out. He's like the old FBI used to be. He's like a one-man FBI right now. But he was with the Department of Homeland Security, Office of the General Counsel, where he was chief legal point of contact for the department's 3,000-lawyer office. He was on Capitol Hill for 5 years as an attorney for both the Senate Homeland Security Committee and the Governmental Affairs Committee and the House Oversight Committee. So he has a lot of experience with oversight, and he certainly knows the lay of the land on what's happening right now. I love it because he worked under Senator Ron Johnson, one of my favorites, and also with Ron DeSantis on the Subcommittee for National Security. So Mike has had tremendous experience. He did work for the Trump administration as a senior advisor for government relations in the 117th Congress. So that gives you an idea of who he is. So now here he is, the actual real Mike Howell on Sandy Rios 24/7. I want to play this clip. Now, a lot of people think this is funny and silly. I actually, yes, it's those both of those things. But I have other thoughts about it. I would be interested to know yours. And this is a little bit of that famous now back and forth between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jasmine Crockett and AOC and other players. It's a minute 28. Let's listen to clip 10.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on.
Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even your
order of your committee.
Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Move her words down. Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play,
baby girl.
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So, you agree to strike your words?
Yeah, I'll
okay.
Agree.
Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she needs to apologize. No.
Perry, okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well,
seconds.
Then
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to
your
object.
Words.
I am not apologizing.
Now let's go. Come on, guys.
It's me.
Ms. Crockett.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built, butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's part of it.
I'm trying to find clarification on what qualifies.
Chairman, motion to strike those words.
I had no idea what you just said.
All right, so that's a little bit of it. Mike, I know that this is kind of a curve, but a lot of people are certainly mocking Congress before it, but I just want to know what you thought about that exchange.
Yeah, I guess my first thought is this is kind of what Congress is. Like, it is a little bit of a circus. You know, I think these people hate each other, and they probably should. The country's in steep, steep decline, purposeful managed decline, and so temper should be high. And so I know a lot of people want to treat it like it should be a tea party, but I frankly like to see people upset. I think everyone should be upset. That being said, I think Jasmine Crockett and AOC are emblematic of a sickness that has occurred in American politics. This kind of refusal to use proper English and to lower the class of the House by basically these purposeful, like, slang speak, you know, dialect that's more appropriate in a rap music video than the halls of Congress, needed to be confronted. And I'm glad that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene kind of had the guts to basically call out what everyone else was thinking in the back of their head of, who is this member and why is she speaking like she's, you know, on a slam poetry tour. And I think Jasmine Crockett, I love that the left now is running to defend her and holding her up as an exemplar of all that is good and worthy, because the American people see what a fraudulent character she is, and her purposeful abuse of the English language and, you know, the spoken word dialect is basically, you know, something I'd rather have most of the country recognize as, yeah, that's what the Democrat, the left wants you to do. They want to, you know, prop up people like this. And so let them choose Jasmine Crockett as their hero, because I think she's a villain for many more than think the other way around.
Well, there's a longer clip of it that I'm going to play later and make some comments on. But I would just, from my point, it's funny, Mike, so often I think you and I see things the same way. I feel very strongly that these are dangerous times. They have been for so many decades that I've been covering things. And it has always upset me that there was so little passion. So little words and the gentleman from all this fakery, and really these are things worth fighting for. I'm not proud of that exchange, and I wish they could do it with more dignity. But there has to be some fight. There has to be some fight because we're losing our country. But with that, I'll leave that lovely conversation. All right. So, Mike, you guys have been doing some really great work on a completely different issue. In March of 2021, President Biden, I remember hearing about this, but not much about the details, and you guys now are finding out the details. President Biden issued an executive order, 14019 or 14019, however you say it, and you guys are calling it Biden Bucks. Please explain what that executive order was, and then we'll talk about what you found out about it.
Absolutely. So to give this some context, at the beginning of this Congress, we were asked by senior people in the House what the number one issue to defund and perform oversight of was. And this is what we said, because what Biden is doing is fundamentally changing the systems of elections in this country in a way that in which nothing else matters. We can win on every other policy issues we want, but the mechanics of the election will be so sufficiently changed we won't be able to actually have a free and fair election in this country. And so what Biden did very early on in his presidency was ordered every federal agency and department to act as a get-out-the-vote arm of the Democratic Party in concert with far-left, dark-money nonprofits, quote-unquote. So basically think of it this way. All these point-of-sale service government agencies, like your welfare agencies and anything that, you know, confers a benefit to people, like that, job centers, they're all turned into get-out-the-vote operations, and they focus this effort in your taxpayer dollars to be deployed in the key areas that they want to win. And so we're talking about the urban areas of the swing states. They aren't, you know, registering Republicans under this effort. They're pointing the machine only at areas where they think they can register Democrats. This is despot dictator behavior. This is someone sitting in power using the sources of government to keep themselves in power. And so, of course, Congress funded it again. So we released a trove of documents. No one else has been able to get the documents because Congress asked. They said, no, you can't see this, and it ended there. Others have sued. They got privileges cited against them in terms of, like, we can't turn this over. It is protected at the highest levels type stuff. Our investigators were able to get a lot of them. And so we posted them all. Check us out on X at OversightPR. And we're calling on states to kick the feds out of spare areas for the purposes of executing this. And Sandy, I do apologize, but I got to run after that one if it's okay.
All right. All right. Okay. So give me the exact address again. Oversight what? So people can find it?
It's at Oversight PR.
Okay. All right. At Oversight PR. All right. Mike, I appreciate your time. We're going to talk about it a little bit more after you leave us so I can tell people a little bit more about what you found. Great work, by the way. And so thank you for all you're doing, and we'll talk to you soon.
Out. You're a true warrior. We need more Sandy Rios's out there.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike. Working on it. Thank you. God bless you. All right. I'm going to just go through some of the things that Mike, I was hoping, I guess he got called away, and he is very busy. Oh, my goodness. He is handling so many things, and he's doing it so effectively. So his time is precious, and I'm glad we have as much of it as we often do. So let me just tell you, this is what they're finding, because this makes it clearer to me. They have researched the implementation of Executive Order 14019. It's called Promoting Access to Voting. And it concludes that here's what it is. It's a partisan voter mobilization effort by the Biden administration to mobilize historically Democratic groups to vote in federal elections. It's published now in this, they've published it now in a never before seen memorandum. They've got it all spelled out if you have interest in it. You just heard, if you have an X account, a Twitter account, go to Oversight, at Oversight PR, at Oversight PR. But just to give you an idea, what they're doing, the president is ordering all the agencies not only to get out the vote, but provide access to mail-in ballot registrations. Have a federal government assist in completing those registrations. Now we're talking about the Treasury Department, Homeland Security. We're talking about Health and Human Services, Social Security Administration, all of that stuff. The agencies in Washington, D.C. are vast. We're talking about thousands of people ordered to have people register to vote, to send mail-in ballots, volunteering to help them fill out those ballots. Isn't that kind? This a big, huge bureaucracy that Joe Biden commands. They're also supposed to promote access to non-English organizations, non-English ballots, and solicit and facilitate approved, nonpartisan, third-party organizations. And these happen to be all of these large think about organizations that do, like, think of the Zuckerbucks. His organization, whatever it was called, they raised millions of dollars and actually had a great deal to do with the defeat of Donald Trump in 2022. Because Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, with our money, thanks to our help through using Facebook, was able to get out the vote, but it was only the Democratic vote. They had massive project, and they did it under the umbrella of government. And that's what they're talking about here. They're reaching out to all kinds of third-party organizations. State officials are to provide voter registration services on agency premises so they can actually use these agencies like Social Security Office, the DMV, whatever office is a government, and the park districts. You can go in there and, you know, register for or sign up for a mail-in ballot, and they'll help you. They'll help you fill out your ballot. Isn't that sweet? There's a lot more to that, but that kind of gives you an idea of how lawless, and this is the kind of thing that the left has been doing now for several years, but we just caught on to it in 2016, and we're learning more and more each day about why this is a disaster. So Oversight, if you go to Heritage Foundation, to their heritage.org, you can find the Oversight Committee's work, too, if you don't do Twitter, because I know that might be the case with some of you. But that's kind of gives you the lay of the land of what's going on. We'll take a break, and when I come back, Bruce will join me, and we'll have a conversation about some of the things we just heard on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you and with Bruce. Because Bruce is a former FBI agent and also a former prosecutor. And as we talked, Mike talked about that the Biden bucks, the executive order 14019. I just wonder what your thoughts are about that, Bruce. Is that even legal? That, do you know?
Well, it's certainly unethical if it's not illegal. Agencies are given a specific charter that this is your responsibilities. And I cannot imagine that, say, the Department of Homeland Security should be handing out voter registration forms to people in different languages than English and then assisting them to fill them out and basically winking that a lot of this is going to be used to allow people to vote illegally.
It just is. They don't write that down, but that's exactly
they don't write that down, but that is mandate. And I'll guarantee you that the managerial staff in these agencies, you know, they get rated every year. They have a checklist. And if you want to get promoted, you better hit those those check marks on the checklist. And I'll guarantee you that even if it's not written in their performance plan, it is being looked at as to whether or not that they are promoting this program, this executive order 14019, the Biden bucks, as Mike called it. In other words, promoting people to register to vote that many are probably here illegally.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing to emphasize, the Biden administration has moved heaven and earth not to release the documents, the details of this order. And I know that the Oversight Project has been trying to get these for a long time, and they just were able to get them. And I want to give people an idea of what we're talking about. The Office of Personnel Management, they have a guidance memorandum. And by the way, you can get all of this stuff at heritage.org. Under the Oversight Project. You can get the details of each of these things. The Railroad Retirement Board, Bruce, they're ordered to do this too. They have a strategic plan. The Peace Corps, that might really work well. U.S. Trade, the Department of Labor, because this is, you know, their business is to, of course, get people to vote, do mail-in ballots and to coach them on how to vote. Department of Treasury, they get paid time off, Bruce, for working on this. That's part of their executive order. And so does the Export-Import Bank. Those employees get part-time off to get people to vote. I'm sorry, this is so disgusting that I have to laugh. And so,
if my eyes rolling made noise, you'd be hearing like a din right now of them going,
Department of Education, they're also helping. Well, they all are. It's every agency that's been ordered to do this. It's very dangerous. Any other further thoughts about that, Bruce?
Well, I think we have to bear in mind what Mike said, where this order is being targeted, and that is being targeted to urban areas in blue states. And every time you watch an election, you know, when you get the map after the election is over and you look at the red areas, which are Republican voters in counties versus the blue areas, which are Democratic counties. The Republican, the map is red. It's just red across the country. And then you go down the two coasts and a little bit around Chicago, Milwaukee, places like that, Detroit. Those are the only blue counties for the most part. And as and they always seem to be able to swing the election. And it kills me when you look at that, that's where the cheating goes on. And this is just another attempt to get even more people involved in cheating.
Yeah, so it's just another way of bending the rules. And I mean, they may be doing more than bending. I just don't know if it's legal or not. But
Who's
going to prosecute them? Merrick Garland, honey, is going to get right on this.
That's the problem, is there's no one to stop this. And, you know, isn't it funny? Now, have you been contacted, Sandy, about helping out on your registration form?
Yes, I'm good. I've been, Joe came right over to the house.
Yeah.
And he was talking me through it.
Let me ask all you people out there, have any of you been contacted? No. This is a targeted campaign to register people who are not here legally.
Yeah, I think so too. And also people that are here legally and are going to vote the right way to get them to vote too. But now there's more to our discussion today because in fact, before we start this, there was quite a dust up in the House of Representatives. It was in Comer's oversight hearing. So you're going to hear Jasmine Crockett. She is a really new, who speaks first. Now this part, actually, I'm going to go back. I'm going to play the shorter clip, and then I will explain that in a second. But you're going to hear Jasmine Crockett. She's the one that Marjorie Taylor Greene goes after. Then you're going to hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speak up, too, and then Comer in the middle. It's pretty interesting, but it's the shorter version. Let's listen to this first.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even your
order of your committee.
Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Oh, baby girl. Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl?
We are going to move and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So, you agree to strike your words?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she just apologized. No.
Okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well, then
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to
your
object.
I am not apologizing.
Now let's go. Come on, guys.
It's me.
Ms. Crockett.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built, butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's
Hold
a
on.
Part
I'm
of
trying
it.
To find clarification on what quality.
Chairman,
I
motion to
I
strike
no
those words.
I have no idea what you just said.
All right. That's the short clip. Now, interestingly enough, it did start with Jasmine Crockett. Clips I've heard don't start with her. They start with Marjorie Taylor Greene accusing her of not being able to see because of her eyelashes. Now, I know this is catfight stuff from girls, but I want to make a broader point. I did make a point with Mike earlier that I actually think there should be some fighting. There should be some passion. There should be some anger. We have a group of people who are trying to destroy this country. And part of what they're doing in trying to destroy it is to overwhelm the system, every system, whether it's the medical system, whether it's your own mind, your own inboxes, the confusion, the news. This is called the Cloward-Piven strategy of manufactured destruction. It is destruction that the left seeks. And in the Congress, this stuff, the words may seem silly, but this is a way of creating confusion, bogging down the process, and preventing governing from actually happening. Now, I know that Marjorie Taylor is being blamed for this, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't say what Marjorie said, but that doesn't make me better than her. I just have a different firm. I'd be in there fighting. I think I might be fighting. I've fought before. But, you know, you can argue about the methods, but I would just say on her behalf, She's sitting in the midst of a committee where there is this constant carping and interruption. I've played clips for you before of this, where they can't even do the House's business because of all the caterwauling. And so Marjorie had it, and she spoke up. I'm not that she should have, but she did. But I want you to hear the longer clip, because I just want you to hear some, I just want you to get a better picture of what the left does. Nobody's actually talking about them and their disruption practices constantly. The first thing you're going to hear is Jasmine. It's her voice. She's actually, I maintain, the one who provoked this argument. She's accusing Marjorie Taylor Greene of not understanding what's happening. And then, of course, you're going to hear all of these objections. You're going to hear AOC jump in, and this is what they do. I want you to hear what they actually do. So let's listen to the first half of this longer clip. Here it is. This is the Oversight Committee, and James Comer is trying desperately to chair it.
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Right. Hold on. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even
order. Order of your committee.
Order,
please.
There's a point of order.
We have a point of order. Mr. Lynch, state your point.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to ask the parliamentarian if your conduct here in raising money in connection with this hearing is referable to the Ethics Committee within this hearing. Is the motion in order to refer your conduct and your abuse of
it's
process.
Not a point of order.
Mr. I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings
move
hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl,
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down. Thank
I second that motion.
So who will have to fail? Okay. All right. We're suspending. 1 second.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Who's?
It's me.
Ms. Crockett.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman. I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's
Hold on. I'm trying to find clarification on what quality.
Chairman,
motion to strike those words.
I had no idea what you just said.
We're not gonna do this. Look, you guys earlier literally just said
you just voted to do it.
I'm trying to get clarification.
Look, calm down.
No, because this is what y'all do. So I'm trying to get clarification.
Ms. Crockett, you're not recognized. Ms. Crockett.
I can't hear you with your yelling.
You don't want me
calm
to
down.
Be,
no. Can you please calm
don't
down?
Don't tell me to calm down.
Calm down.
Because y'all
please
talk noise,
down.
And then you
you're
can't take
control.
It.
You're out of control.
Because if I come and talk shit about her, y'all going to have a problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Chair, okay. Order.
All right, so that's the first part of this, and I'm having you listen to this because I want you to understand how they are breaking down the order in Congress. They are trying to destroy the structure. This is, again, part of the Cloward-Piven strategy of manufactured crisis. It's been happening for years. If you want to look that up, you can, but this is the way they destroy institutions. It's funny, but not funny, and I want to just point out to you this hearing was supposed to be about A.G. Garland's refusal to turn over the tape of Joe Biden's interview with special counsel Robert Hur. So that's what this is about, but you're not hearing anything about that because, and they're all, you know, jumping in. So Mr. Lynch jumps in and tries to change the subject to trying to confuse Comer by accusing him of earning money or making money off of this hearing. And then you have J.B. Raskin, who's his co-chair, who's jumping in to help AOC, and it becomes just a chaos. So I want to also point out that in the process of that, now, if you're going to talk about words, Marjorie Taylor talked about Jasmine's eyelashes, then Jasmine goes for the jugular, and she actually accuses Marjorie with her words of being a lesbian. I won't break that down, but I'm just telling you that's what it is. And then she uses a profanity that we often talk about when it comes to excrement. So on the House floor, that's what she's doing. And then Comer jumps in and continues, and let's listen.
Chair now recognizes Ms. Green for for 4 minutes and 21 seconds. 4 minutes. Let Ms. Green talk, and then you all can, I'll recognize.
But I move to strike her words for a second time based on her second set of personal remarks attacking another member.
Who? Chairman Comer.
Because you all cannot seem
I have an amendment at
to
the desk
apply the rules of the committee. We have to do this every time.
Okay. I'm recognized. Order. I'm going to go ahead and start talking.
Look, I know. Look, I don't know if you've noticed it. I have two hearing aids. I'm very deaf. I'm not understanding. Everybody's yelling. I'm doing the best I can. Can we not recognize Ms. Green and let her
get? We cannot because of the rules of the committee, Mr. Chair. That is what I'm trying to communicate in the present moment.
We have a motion. Okay, what's the motion?
The motion is to strike the gentlelady's words for the second set of remarks, not the first. The second.
She
that applied
no
to
idea.
Me.
She has no idea. I think, Mr. Chairman, I'm the only one recognized right now.
We objected at the time.
Will the member state the word she wishes
yes.
struck?
She told me, or she asserted that I was not intelligent. These are the specific words. We can have it read by the clerk.
It was made immediately.
And it was made immediately. I am not moving now.
I don't think it was
timely. I am not moving
now. It was made immediately, both by the gentlelady and by me.
Mr. Chair, it was made immediately.
It was made immediately, both by the gentlelady and by me.
Return to us.
Yes.
She said, you don't have the intelligence to talk to me, is what she said.
The chair recognizes Ms. Green for 4 minutes and 21 seconds.
Mr. Chair, what is happening with the ruling?
I object to the ruling now.
We must object.
I mean, if you want to take it up.
All right, so that's Marjorie Taylor laughing. I mean, you know, this is what they're dealing with, and it is laughable. And they are trying to obstruct the process and destroy the institution. That's all I have to say about it. Bruce, do you have any comments about it?
Well, I think what you said about it's shifting the focus of the real reason that committee was in session the other day. And it is a very serious matter that they were there to litigate, and that is, should the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, be held in contempt of Congress because they issued a request to get a hold of the transcript, or not the transcript, but the audio version of the interview between Joe Biden and the special counsel that was investigating the documents, the classified documents that were in Joe Biden's home?
Serious issues they were trying to address.
This is the same investigation that resulted in Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home being raided by FBI agents in the early morning with automatic weapons and armored vehicles. This is how serious this is. And now if you watch the news today, you will not hear a thing about whether or not the Attorney General should be held in contempt of Congress. You will only see this catfight between Marjorie Taylor Greene
and Marjorie's blamed for all of it. It's all, but I just want to point out, remember that the left always uses psychology. That's how they fight. And I mentioned before to all of you that Barack Obama was the first presidential candidate I know that hired hundreds of psychologists to work. You've probably heard me interview Stella Morabito, who talks about this because she's a former leftist. She's written this great book called Weaponization of Loneliness. And the psychology I'm talking about here, let me just put it to you this way. You're in a difference of opinion with your husband. And so you change the subject, or you show him something else. You confuse him. You distract him so that he will not do what you don't want him to do. People do that, have been doing that since time immemorial. This is that multiplied by billions. So this is the strategy. It works. It's a psychological tool. But much more is at stake in that interaction than just women catfighting, and I wanted you to understand that. Well, all right. Sweetheart, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. Every time you join me, thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, what can I do to get you to say something? How about lunch? What are we going to have for lunch? I'm distracting.
I'm distracted often.
We laugh about that, don't we? It's yes. Like, I like trees. We'll be talking, and that's our signal. I like trees when he's changing stuff.
Refocus, Bruce, refocus.
Anyway, honey, thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoy today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.